In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Well, this tremendous song was not said 2 days ago when we were trying to assess the best song of all time, but quite a number of answers came in our program on Tuesday. So much so that we said, all right, we're going to need a poll to let the audience decide which of those said was the best song of all time. Now, this is for Creed tickets from Tuesday's show. John, we've broken it down into two different polls, and we'll release one of them right now with our 6 a.m. hour Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, here's the poll question. Which of these songs is the best? Here are three that were said by the audience on Tuesday. Gimme Shelter, Stairway to Heaven, We Are the World. That could be like a finalist.
Holy cow.
And that's a semifinalist.
The thing is, all six are finalists. Oh, that's the thing. They're all great. Like, I didn't know how to split them up
into
three and three.
This is impossible.
That's a big groupie.
This is impossible to choose.
Gimme Shelter, Stairway, We Are the World.
Well, how did you know? I don't think this is fair.
John, Billie Jean wasn't even said.
Yeah, and the other three are three bangers, too.
Yeah. So, John, you're going to have to decide. Look, we will tell everyone you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You got about an hour to get your vote in. We'll release the voting at the near the end of next hour. So break it down however you see fit. Gimme Shelter, Stairway, We Are the World. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Of course, if you want to comment on the phone lines on which of those three is the best, please do, because that is a tough thing to assess. Let's get to Doug in Lancaster. We're going to get something that Nick Sirianni said recently to us. Doug, good morning, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy Thanksgiving.
To you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doug.
Guys, I am out on Joel Embiid. And I'm going to go a step further. I'm actually getting pretty close to being out on the Sixers as a whole. I think we've got a culture issue in that locker room.
Well, they do.
I sure get that. Yeah. And we know that it stems from him being, just the golden do anything, everything, anything you ever want at any time, whenever it suits you. And that really has caught up with them.
It just seems like season after season, there's key player drama. And, when I look at the Eagles, last year there's a few leaks that came out. There's a major problem in that locker room, and I really feel like this is a canary in the coal mine with Maxey having that one-on-one with Joel. You got to show up on time. I'm a guy that spent some time in the Navy, and my number one pet peeve at work today as a leader of a business up here in New England is show up. Be on time. And if you want to be taken seriously amongst your peers and the folks that you're supposed to be leading, being there is the first thing that you can do as a foundational piece of a human being and a leader. Joel's not it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's definitely not it. The conundrum, Doug, is whether you pull the plug when you know that it probably means 4 to maybe 7 years of really not
saying
being great.
That. Like, if they did get eye draft pick and got one of these legit guys, like, I don't think it's 4 to 7 years.
Think of it this
you
way,
don't think,
James.
Like, all right, Cooper Flagg is the top guy, but yep. You don't think Cooper Flagg, McCain, and Maxey as a base could compete? They'd be a playoff team for sure.
Yeah, but playoff team's what they've been.
Like, but the Cooper Flagg has a chance to be the best player in basketball, man.
Doug, here's what I'd say. The Spurs just got Wemby. The Spurs have no chance to compete for a championship for about 4 to 5 years.
And crazy. Wemby's going to be the best player in basketball in a year. He's like right there already.
James, they have no chance. Michael Jordan didn't win a title a year, seven or eight?
But basketball's different now. Like, I think that's crazy.
I will tell you, I'd give you, how can I frame this?
I'll pay you
500. You pay me 100. Whether the Spurs win a title in the next 5 years?
No, I'm saying compete. We said compete for a title. You said compete. I'm talking about getting to a conference championship, getting to a finals. I think Wemby will be in a.
Hold on a second.
You said compete for a title. I can't guarantee they'll win a title. Well, it's hard to win a title.
You have 500 to 100.
No, hold up. You're saying compete for a title, not win a title. There is a massive difference there. We know how hard it is to actually win it all. I'm saying they'll be in the thing, like have a real chance, and they might win one in the next 5 years.
Have the Sixers been in the thing? I'm just curious.
No, I'm saying I think Wemby will be at a conference final within the next 5 years and probably a finals.
I'm not going to make that bet. But,
4 to 7 years is insane.
Yeah, I think you're crazy. Like, he's going to be the best player. How often does the best player in basketball not get to a conference finals? Joel Embiid's like the only example ever.
Very, very, very rare. All right, anyway, Doug, I hear your frustration. We're all frustrated. Give me female character in a sports movie, Duck.
All right, so Kate Bosworth from Blue Crush. Great
I love
movie.
That answer.
Forgot
great
about story. That movie. That's,
you got
awesome
it, buddy.
Answer.
You got it, pal.
Awesome answer. Surfing is indeed a sport. Joe, have you ever surfed?
No, and it is.
It is.
Man. It is unquestionably a sport.
Of course it's a sport.
And it's not easy. Not easy at all. It's some of those, some of those big waves. It incredibly brave that they get out there.
Of course it is. Of course it is. All right, let's get to some audio here of Nick Sirianni. Oh, by the way, Zach Wheeler finished the second for MVP, if you missed that. So Chris Sale, James.
Not a surprise.
Did the voters get it right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, like, I would have preferred Wheeler, obviously, and the 30 more innings or whatever he pitched matters. Yep. But, I mean, Sale had a better ERA, a better strikeouts, more wins. Like, you know, he just had better underlying numbers. It was what it was.
No, I think it's reasonable. But it's a shame because Wheeler's been knocking on the door, man. That's his second top two, and he's had some other seasons, you know, near that. And he's an amazing, amazing, amazing pitcher. But anyway, Chris Sale gets it for 2024. Alec Boehm, there's talk of him maybe to the Royals. We'll see. A report out, you know, a couple days ago that links him to KC. I mean, my guess, John, is we'll get a lot of reports of him linked to different people. And it is notable that, you know, it doesn't feel like there's any refuting of Boehm on the block. So, you know,
how do you guys feel about that? You've been excited about the progress he's made as a defender, a lot more excited, I think, than I've been.
Bro, I want to trade him. I said I want to trade him.
I'd rather see Castellanos trade it, but I know you get more back for Boehm. So, you know.
You don't get anything back for Castellanos.
No.
Nada.
But yeah. Boehm, you have Boehm a problem is an attractive with piece. Boehm.
Well, I look.
You got to give the get.
The answer is yes.
Wow.
I have a problem with trading Boehm.
We've never talked about this.
Sure, we have.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. Well, I mean,
he's made it very clear.
I would look. My mindset is I recognize that some change is likely to occur, and I do want to see the Phillies improve, but I want to be very clear about this. I don't want them to trade Boehm just because people are in a bad mood. If they can truly upgrade, great. But I mean, he's a pretty good player. And I think a lot of people, the way he finished, acting like he's not.
That's the root of this. What we saw down the stretch, not even down the stretch, the second half of the season, he was a problem. He melted down.
But Castellanos,
we can't have that.
But Castellanos melted down in the first half of the season and has multiple times now in his 3 years here. I mean, I'm like Boehm is a better player than Castellanos, period. He's a better player. He is.
I agree.
And I think
I have
a lot
so
of people
faith that he can put the bat on the ball. He's so talented and he's so young and everything. But there's something.
Something's off. I know.
And there's
I'm
also what
wrong.
You get in return. Like, you can't trade Castellanos for nothing. You can trade Boehm for something.
I understand. I get it. All right. So if you want to weigh in on the Phillies, a couple storylines there. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the audio of Sirianni because he was on our program on Tuesday, and there is just an issue that just never, it hasn't gone away yet, and that's trying to score early and often. I mean, racking up points in the first half. So we addressed that probably for the seventh time this season with Sirianni. Here's the exchange we had with Nick the other day on that issue. The offense starts slow, and then in the second half, it cranks it up. And I know you've been thinking about this. Why and how do you avoid that from continuing with the negative side early?
Yeah, like you said, it's never just one thing. It's the greatest team sport there is. You know, you win as a team, you lose as a team, you start slow as a team, you start fast as a team, and so there's many different things that go into it. We're busting our butts trying to make sure we do everything we can do as coaches to fix it. I know the players are doing everything that they can do to fix it because it's important that you start fast. It's important that you build leads, and you don't want to have these tight games and then blow them out. Just the same way, you don't want to get a big lead and then let the team get back into it. So it's just playing the full football game. I think the defense has definitely been doing that. Offensively, we got to put together a full game. Where we're starting fast, and we've had moments of that. The last 2 weeks have not been, and I think that you're always going to think about your most recent games, but we've had moments where we've had some games go faster for us offensively. But we got to do that consistently, and we got to do that, this upcoming week, because we know we have a really good opponent coming up.
All right, so that was Nick Sirianni on Tuesday with us. Here's the deal. And John, I turn to you and everyone at 215-592-9494. What explains the struggles? What to do about it? Because I feel like we've asked this to a number of our guests, and nobody seems to have the answer. And by the way, the answer can't just be, well, just complete a pass. I mean, of course, just complete a pass. But, like, John, do you have any – the only theory I have, and I don't stand on strong ground on this, but the only theory I have that I lean into a little bit is I think Jalen runs more as the game goes on, and I think they're more effective when he does. And I think in the beginning of the game, they try to have him be a little bit more pocket-oriented, and he's a little bit less effective when he is. But that can't be all of it. Like, John, why does it happen? And if you're Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore, and I ask this to everyone at 215-592-9494, why and what to do with it? John, what are your theories and answers?
This is a theory, is that their first 15 is designed for probing and analyzing rather than scoring and success. I have played on teams where our first 15, really, it was a slam dunk every time we would go down and we would score a touchdown. And that was, book it.
So you're saying it's like a boxer trying to feel the other boxer out in the early rounds?
Yeah, it's possible that Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni and this offensive staff view their first 15 differently than those coaches who I played for. And they say, all right, you know what? We're gonna test the limits of this defense that we're facing this week because we don't know how they're going to treat this look from us. When we go with this personnel grouping, how are they going to treat that? Who are they going to sub in when we bring in our giant young, rookie wide receiver? Yep. Okay, now that we know that, we're going to, in the second half, we've got a player where we can get him. And, maybe that's part of why it feels like things get out of hand in second halves, because they have planned with good intel coming back into the first half, coming back into the first 15, and it's just the way that it's worked out.
Would you say don't do that? Yeah, don't do it anymore.
I don't know. I don't know. I like the idea of, floor it. Let's get out there. I'm an offensive player. I want to floor it from start to finish. I like watching games like the Detroit Lions generate, where it's the third quarter and you're wondering, like, can they really keep their starters in when they're in the 40s now? I love that. I love that sort of domination offensively. I think all these offensive players do. And I think that we have the talent to get to that point. And I wish that we would see more of that aggressiveness that leads us to that point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
If we'd start faster with the first 15 rather than probing, we could score more.
Another way, and this might just be ridiculously simplistic, but I'll state it because it has to go through some people's minds. The offensive coaches, namely Sirianni and Kellen Moore, is a combo, probably Kellen Moore number one there, Sirianni two. They're bad game planners, they're great adjusters. Now, I'm not saying that's what it is, but I'm just saying that's what it looks like. I mean, that's what it looks like. Like, they stink early, and then there's some kind of adjustment, and then they don't stink.
It could be they're just great adjusters. Everyone has...
But how does a team with this personnel, how does a team, never score in the first... Seltzer, how do they never score in the first quarter? How?
I think the Richie's theory is the only thing that makes any sense. Like, no, obviously not. But at the same time, it's worked really well later in games. So would you rather they score early and don't score late? I don't know if it's one or the other. I mean, obviously you want them to score throughout.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose, I'd rather they score a lot in the second half than in the first half if I had to choose.
Here's my guess. That theory, John said, and I know Ross Tucker put out a similar theory, it strikes me like you're, I don't want to say justifying, but backing your way into an answer. Like, you might be right, John, but you could be totally wrong.
It's the
wrong.
One that makes the most sense, though. Like, either that or, to your point, they are horrendous. At, like, obnoxiously bad at coming into games and scheming. Like,
what about Jalen? You know? What about Jalen should run more often early? Because, okay, would you guys agree, eye test? I don't have all the data in front of me. Would you agree, eye test, he runs more later in the game than first drive?
Yeah, but I think that's also because they never have long first drives. You know, like, he might run more if they could actually sustain a drive for more than three or four plays.
Maybe, but maybe he needs to run earlier on that third and six in the first drive.
Maybe.
And he's more likely to run on third and six in the third quarter when
you're
down by
4 points.
There's
also something with Jalen where, and we've talked about this, where he starts slow. It feels like his entire, I know he had that second quarter thing, but it feels like it always takes him at least a drive or two to, like, get in any sort of rhythm to feel comfortable out there. So,
yeah. Ray, do you have a theory?
Maybe he needs to grow up a little bit and start faster. That's important.
Ray, what's your theory?
I think they're trying to feel out the defense and what they can take
from John's theory.
Yeah, I agree with him. Yeah. I mean, I think they try a couple of different things and they, you know, they're just seeing what they're going to get because they do go rolling, you know, in some of these second halves.
Well, look, I'm really curious where you stand. I know a lot of people want to talk today about the Sixers, and that's good stuff. Well, it's bad stuff. It's a good topic to talk about. But I really am fascinated. What is your theory of why they start slow? And what can be done about it? This, to me, it's like not since Ryan Howard couldn't hit the ball in the first 2 months of the season and then couldn't miss the ball in the final 4 months of the season have I seen anything in Philly sports so bizarre. They can't score early, and then they roll late. Why?
And the amazing thing is the Rams are just as bad. You know, the Rams are worse.
Okay. Well,
that's the shocking thing.
All right, so what do you make of this with the Eagles? 2-1.